When I was a boy, my parents used to take us to Florida on vacation. I was an Ohio boy, you know, so going to Florida was a big deal, and it was so much nicer and warmer in Florida. But I loved the walk along the beaches, you know. I'd look at the azure, you know, ocean and the blue sky, and I look at other things too. But lots of times I kept my eyes glued to the beach in front of me, the sand, you know, because I like watching for maybe a sea creature that came up, a starfish or a sand dollar. But I had this thing in the back of my mind all the time that I could maybe find a gold doubloon that, you know, had washed up on the shore from a sunken galleon, you know, many, many centuries ago. And so I would look and I would watch and I would hope that I would find something of great value along the Treasure Coast there in Florida. And so all these stories, you know, that I read as a kid kept turning in my mind of finding treasure of gold and silver and, you know, rubies and pearls. And so I really enjoyed doing that. In 1715, there was a fleet of 11 Spanish galleons that actually were sunken in a storm off the coast of Florida there. And all 11 of them went down. And the value, the estimated value of that treasure there was 15 million pieces of eight. In our currency today, that'd be about $40 million. It was a tremendous amount of money back in those days. And so they went down in the storm, and the Spanish, you know, crown went and they recovered as much as they could because they didn't have the technology, obviously, that we have today. So there was about two-thirds of that treasure that remained laying on the bottom of the ocean down, you know, in the reefs down there. And so people have heard of the wreck. And so in 1980, a group of businessmen put together a team that would try to go and find this treasure. And so it's interesting, you know, what lengths they went to, you know, outfit these ships and send divers down to find this tremendous, valuable treasure. And in fact, over the years they did. They recovered over $13 million worth of treasure. And so I mean, so it's amazing to me just having a business whose job is looking for treasure and actually finding that treasure up to $13 million. So gold and silver and gems and pearls, that's what they look for, things of great, great value. So what do we know? Men will go to great lengths, won't they? They'll spend small fortunes looking for treasure. It's kind of like money for nothing, right? Let me go get this treasure. But they will look for it. And so that leads us this morning to a story that Jesus told, a parable that illustrates a spiritual lesson. And the one we're going to look at this morning is found in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your book, your Bible there, turn to Matthew 13. And this parable is in verses 45 and 46, excuse me. Turn there and let's look at it together. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. When I was looking at this parable, I was surprised to see that there are many different interpretations of what this parable means. And there are several interpretations. And so I had to really dig deep to try to weed through the multiple interpretations of it to find out what it really meant. I think the most popular interpretation of this that I read was that the pearl is a found relationship with Christ, or as a Christian might say, salvation. And that the buyer or the merchant pictures the man who is not a Christian, or again, as a Christian might say, a sinner. So in the scenario, this popular scenario that I found, it says that the sinner does all that he can to find salvation, to obtain salvation for himself, and pay whatever price he has to pay for salvation. Do you guys listen to or like listening to old commentators, old broadcasts or old preachers? I love doing that. I like the perspective that they bring to our current culture and the way we think today. And one of my favorite old commentators is J. Vernon McGee. Do you guys know J. Vernon McGee? Yeah, sure, us old guys know him. He had a program called Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. And I said, I wonder what Dr. McGee thinks about this parable of the great pearl. And so I found an old talk that he gave. And he said this, because he's a man to search of Scripture, and he wants to share truth, right? And we should be like him, digging deep, so that the things we share are truthful and informative. And so this is what he said. I cannot accept that interpretation. I dismiss it as unworthy and not even thoughtful of consideration. I thought, if you know J. Vernon McGee, he's got a very strong southern drawl. You know, you can just hear him say, that's unworthy of, you know. And I thought, wow, he's took a strong position on that interpretation, so why did he do it? Why did he take such a strong position on that interpretation of the parable? And so we're going to look at that this morning and find out what it really means. So, well, if we look at this parable, what do we see? We see that the merchant in this story is seriously, deliberately searching the world to find pearls, and he's looking for it, and as we read, he is seeking this pearl of great value. So when you look at the context of Matthew 13, what do we see? The whole chapter is about those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who have a destination that's positive, hopeful, and those who have a destination who is not. Even in verse 50 of this, we see that there are two kinds of people, and one is destined for heaven. And in verse 50, it says the other is destined for the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, so what is the merchant seeking? He's seeking people. It's about people. He's looking for people. I think we can look at Luke 19:10 to get a little help here. If you're familiar with that passage, these are also Jesus' words. So what does he say? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is Christ, the Savior. He came to earth looking for people because he wants to save people. So the seeker is not man. The seeker is Christ alone. So he's seeking. He's looking. And so we look at this word seek. Here's what it actually means. It means to depart from one place and arrive at another. Isn't that what Jesus did? He departed from the throne in heaven. He condescended. He came to heaven. He came to us looking for us with a purpose. His purpose, his mission, seeking, saving, seeking, and saving that which was lost. So he came seeking people, us, so that we can be saved. Which people? He's looking for his people. Scripture says he has his people. And there are people who would become the church. He's seeking his church. He's seeking the bride of Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote to the people in Ephesus, and I think it's very helpful here. Listen, Ephesians 5:25. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself for a specific group of people, the church, which he calls her, the bride of Christ. He laid down his life for us, for people. That is us. That is the we, the collective members of the church. Who are we? We are the pearl of great value. It's us. It's people. It's you. And it's me. So valuable to him. That what did he do? Like the merchant who went and sold all that he had to purchase the one pearl, he gave all that he had for us. Everything. Paul said this in Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we even knew he existed, living in our sin, what did Christ do for us? He came. He died for us so that we could be saved from our sin. That's how much he loves us. I found it fascinating that Jesus used the pearl to represent the people of the church. And here's why. I think you probably have heard this story before. Unlike other gems, rubies or, you know, gold or diamonds, pearls are produced by a living organism. They're produced by an oyster. And it is the result of an injury, isn't it? Something happens to this oyster which causes pain to the oyster, and the oyster reacts to it. So the pearl is produced by a foreign object that invades it, a piece of sand or maybe an egg from a parasite, and the oyster reacts to it. Just like we would react to something entering our body and causing damage to us, causing pain to us, the oyster reacts exactly the same way. And it protects itself by covering that irritant with mother of pearl. There's a technical name for it, but basically it's mother of pearl. And it continues the process until the irritant is covered and no longer causes, you know, irritation or pain in that living organism, the oyster. So it covers it. It covers it. It covers it until this little irritant becomes a pearl. It becomes something very, very valuable, doesn't it? And there's an interesting metaphor there. In a similar way, spiritually speaking, that's exactly what Christ does for us. We are an irritant to him, aren't we? Oh, sinful man, right? We're like a parasite, unfortunately. Disobedient, rebellious men, and God reacts to that and gives us an opportunity to correct our problem. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," right? If you think that's not you, John clears that up in 1 John and says, if you think you have no sin, you're deceived. You're a liar. Everyone has sin. It all needs to be dealt with. So, what did Christ do? He came to seek it. He came to solve that problem for us, didn't he? So because God loves us, we are covered by the blood of God. Just like that irritant in that oyster is covered by this mother of pearl, so it's no longer an irritant. We are covered by the blood of God. That sin is covered. It's washed away. And we become something new, don't we? Just like that pearl, we become something new, a new creation. And we then become something very beautiful in the eyes of God. We become like the precious pearl, clothed in the righteousness of him. And as it says in Acts 20, verse 28, we then can enjoy being a part of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Isn't it amazing? Why did Jesus choose the pearl? Because it so perfectly illustrates the relationship between him and us. It's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. We have to know that salvation cannot be purchased. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a gift given through faith. It can never be purchased in any way, and it is given to us. Back to Matthew 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. So, I mean, Christ is that merchant. And the price paid was his life. And the church, you and I, are the pearl. So what's the leadership principle in there this morning? What is it that we take away? In addition to the fantastic news that he came and saved us and shaped us into something new that is beautiful and valuable, the takeaway for us this morning is that people are valuable to God. And because people are valuable to God, they must be valuable to us also. We must view people, all people, in exactly the same way that he views them. One of the comments that was made by one of these treasure hunters, a guy named Brisbane, who had recovered these millions of dollars, was fascinating to me. And it also kind of illustrates this relationship between things that are lost and things that are found. Listen to what he said, and I quote, "While the money is impressive, the reward has transcended dollar amounts, with much of the satisfaction coming from the thrill of the hunt. It's hard to match that feeling sweeping through the sand, hovering above the reefs, looking for the telltale sign, the glittering of the gold at the bottom of the ocean, and getting a chance, having a chance to rediscover something that was lost." Amazing, isn't it? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the great news is that which was lost has been found. and is still being found. It's you, it is me, it's every man who will respond to the call to repentance. It's everyone who will be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, and you, and we men, we are the pearl of great value. You pray with me? Father, we just thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us. If we believe in him, we shall not perish but have everlasting life. What a verse. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be a pearl of great value in your sight. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning, men.